All right, just kidding. Chuck Brantley not in the transfer portal anymore. He is back at Michigan State, thank goodness. And then, hey, we are joined by the chief of propaganda for top reasons to be optimistic about this upcoming football season. Let's go.
You are Locked On Spartans, your daily podcast on the Michigan State Spartans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Spartan friends, Spartan family, Locked On Spartans listeners, thank you so much for joining us here today at Locked On Spartans, your team in green and white 5 days a week during this hectic offseason, especially. No slow days here in East Lansing. No, don't get that twisted. Yeah, we're going to start off the show by doing quite literally the exact opposite of how we started yesterday's show. Yesterday, okay, Chuck Brantley, he entered the transfer portal late on Sunday. We finally got to it and said, well, not good. This is not a good sign here because, look, this is a position group at Michigan State that is just bleeding depth and can use really any talent it possibly can have. We have been crying up and down this entire spring transfer portal window, even before it really opened, that Michigan State needs as many bodies through the portal as possible in the defensive backfield. So to see one leave in Chuck Brantley, not great. That was not fun. But hey, guess what? You just have to wait a little less than 48 hours after he enters the transfer portal. He tweets out, loyalty outvalues everything. And well, just like that, took his name back out of the portal. And it's only good news for Michigan State. We're going to say a lot of the things we said on yesterday's podcast, right? Is that, hey, he's got some shortcomings. Sure, of course he does. He's an average NFL cornerback. Do you know who else has shortcomings, though, at cornerback in college football? Roughly 98.9% of the other cornerbacks in college football. These are college kids. There's going to be deficiencies one way or another. Chuck says that, hey, maybe just a tad undersized. He hits very hard, and sometimes those hard hits don't go well on the body, so he's in and out throughout the season. But look, this is a solid starting cornerback, okay, who's had some big moments. You know what? Let's just remind everyone of one. How about that interception 2 years ago against Michigan to ice the game? Also, we just said it, the big hits as well. And this is what I like, too. This is a third-year player in the Scotty Hazleton system. All right, this is clearly a system that takes some time to learn, as we've seen the last few years, especially in the secondary and all of their shortcomings as well. To get a guy as experienced as Chuck and as solid of a player as Chuck, I can't overstate how important that is because here, you know what? It's a big deal to get Chuck back because of the player that he is. It's also a little underrated storyline because of, well, who would have been here should he not have. We're still working with Caleb Coley, all right, redshirt freshman, young guy. Again, hearing a lot of great things about him, but young player, just like Chance Rucker, a true freshman, another young player. It's not impossible for a true freshman to start at cornerback and be good. Josiah Scott has something to say about that, but it is far and few between as well. And then Marquis Lowry, okay, a solid cornerback as well, but he has his injury issues, so you need as much depth on these lines as possible. And then Chester Kimbra as well. So yeah, it's already a very thin, quite literally and figuratively, list at defensive back. So yes, if a player like Chuck Brantley entered the transfer portal, I would be clamoring to get him. How about that? That's the best way to put it. All right, I've been crying up and down about getting more defensive backfield depth. So yeah, when he left, I was sad. I was sad, but hey, now we're all happy. He's back. So look at us go. We'll see what happens with the other two big names that entered the transfer portal, Peyton Thorne. I can't imagine in my wildest dreams that he will come back to Michigan State like Chuck Brantley did. And also, hey, let's shout out Ma'a Nauteote. He entered the transfer portal last year. Mel Tucker got him out. Year before that, Connor Hayward, he also entered the transfer portal. Mel Tucker convinced him to stay as well. So there is a knack of that. But I don't expect Peyton Thorne to be one of those players. I'll give a lot more thoughts on that situation on tomorrow's show, if I can tease that. It's got a lot more to say about it than what I'm trying to jam in right now, and that's also thoughts that can wait. And more importantly, Keon Coleman. All eyes on Keon Coleman right now. Where is he going to go? And I'll shoot y'all straight. There's been about 28 schools I've heard connected to him, right? And one of them is Michigan State. There is a contingent of people around the program that are hopeful that he can stay. So the ship hasn't officially sailed yet on Keon Coleman. I personally am a little reluctant to believe it just because this is the third cycle he was tried to be poached away from Michigan State from other schools. So, and it finally worked out. I feel like if you're going to get poached and you wanted to stay, then, well, you would just, you know, say no for a third time. The hardest part's probably the first two times, but regardless, this is a very talented player, obviously. Early on in this, it was maybe alleged, I didn't really use that word to protect myself, alleged that Oklahoma was working some back-channel deals, perhaps, again, allegedly, just hypothetically, of course. And maybe when that got out of the bag, I think a lot of other schools jumped on that as well. I've heard LSU connected to him, Alabama, Florida, USC. Every school's going to be after this kid because, like we've talked about many a time in this transfer portal window, you don't get a lot of stars in this spring transfer portal window season. And, well, Keon's probably going to be one of the top players in the country, so he'll be hearing from the top programs in the country. So, again, there is hope from some people out there. I'm just not one of them, but I would love to be wrong. I would love more than anything to be wrong about this one. All right, let's get to the Chief of Propaganda. Now, this is part of our Top 5 Tuesday series that we're doing this offseason. This video does come out very late Tuesday. That's how we get into that little loophole right there to call it Top 5 Tuesday. Guilty as charged. We recorded this late last week, and that's the last time I'm going to do that for a while. Okay, I know I've said that the last episode as well, but we each did 5 reasons to be optimistic about Michigan State football. We did not consult one another on this list. We had the same number 5, and we had the same number 1. The same number 1 is that player we just talked about named Keon Coleman. And I wrestled about what to do with that. Do I just edit that part out? Do I keep it in so we could all laugh at it? I'm still not in the place to laugh about the whole Keon Coleman situation. So we're just going to edit that part out. Instead of Top 5 Tuesday, it'll just be Top 4 Tuesday. All right, that's going to be 4 for me, 4 from the Chief of Propaganda. So let's just get to it right now. You're joined today by a man with no face, but a voice. And not just a voice, but one of extreme green and white optimism. We are talking about the Chief of Propaganda. If you're on Twitter, it's impossible to not know him at this point. Hey, Chief, how on earth are we doing on this beautiful day today?
Sheehan, I'm doing excellent. I really appreciate that very, very kind introduction. And yeah, no, I'm fired up. As we're going to go over kind of this topic today, I will say I spent about the last 3 days or so just trimming down the list from about 1,000 things to be optimistic about just to get down to 5. So it took some time.
Chopping down the list. Chopping down the list. We got to use the right marketing lingo here.
Yep.
You know how it be. So look, hey, listen, we all know the situation right now, right? Our boys in green and white. Coming off of a 5-7 season, you know, there's a quarterback battle going on. There are some people that are a little uneasy as we are going to just absolutely beautiful weather in the state of Michigan. It is our duty to bring up the vibes to match the weather and make sure everyone is roaring into this offseason with as much optimism as humanly possible. So I got 5 reasons to be optimistic. Mr. Chief, that makes sense. Mr. Chief has 5 reasons of optimism as well. Chief, you're the guest here. Would you like to dance first on the first reason to be optimistic about Michigan State football for the 2023 season?
Yeah, let's do it. And coming in at number 5 for me, it's going to be the home schedule. Just looking at it right now, the first 4 games, Central, Richmond, Washington, Maryland, all at home. Then you obviously get the rivalry game with Michigan at home. You get Nebraska at home, which is massive. And then to finish off the year, you get Penn State at home. So, just kind of comparing it to last year where you had to go to Washington, Happy Valley, the Big House. This has a totally different feel. Obviously, there's still some tough road games in there, but being able to defend the woodshed, that's why I feel that's one of my reasons for optimism is the fact that we get our key games at home.
And be right back with a lot more reasons of optimism for Michigan State football because Lord knows maybe we could all use that right now. But first, hey, need to talk your ear off about Built Bar. That's right, gang. We're talking about the best protein bar in the land that takes care of you in 3 wonderful ways. The first way, they're going to treat your taste buds with love. We're talking wrapped in 100% real chocolate. Each of these bars or puffs, soft, chewy, flavorful, better than any candy bar you have had. The second way they take care of you, they're amazing on the body. Most of these, just 130 calories, just 4 grams of sugar, but yet a whopping 17 grams of protein. You're not going to feel weighed down. You're not going to feel jittery off all the sugar. You only feel the power with Built Bar. And the third way they take care of you is, well, hey, how about convenience? Go to Walmart. Go to Sam's Club if you're already out and about on your errands. Or, hey, if you like the internet, Built.com is the place to get it popping. Find the Built Puff for your life. Find the Built Bar for your life. Find any of the wonderful Built products at Built.com. Go on and stock up on those Built Bars. You know, this is part of our Top 5 Tuesday series this offseason. I forgot to introduce that. And we've had some guests on before, you know, and a lot we've gelled with them. Like when we did Connor Cook Moments last week, a lot of mine and Maddie Mays, our guests, were similar. And on that note, Chief of Propaganda, my number 5 going into reasons for optimism for this season. Are you ready for this? Are you sitting down, everyone? It's the home schedule. Would you look at that? We have matched up completely on number 5. We have not talked to each other before this, but yeah, that's what I have as well. And I just go to the 3 games that are probably circled the most on Michigan State fans' schedule. It is going to be that Washington game, seeing if we can extract revenge out of those Huskies. It's the Michigan game, and it's the Penn State game as well. All 3 of those are at home. Something's got to give, right? I mean, it is very hard to win on the road in college football. You hope Michigan State wins at least 1, if not 2 of those games. Am I being crazy? Am I being blinded by the light of what a home game in college football means? Or does the woodshed have enough juice in it to propel these boys in green and white to a victory against at least one of those guys? That's all I'm asking for. I'm not greedy.
I think the goal's got to be 2. Obviously, ideally, yeah. Ideal world, you win 3. But I mean, let's be realistic. Those are 3 playoff contenders, and I mean, you could argue that 2 of them have serious national championship aspirations with the school down the road in Washington. So I do think the Washington game is going to be the key. Like, it's going to be a Friday night. It's tough. Like, other than Arizona State, teams don't come out here and win, and teams don't go out west and win.
Yeah,
unless
no,
you're
correct. Anyway, I'm not going to go down that road. We're trying to be optimistic. We're trying to be upbeat here. We're going to try our best. So, no, I will not let Herm Edwards get in the dialogue here. God, also just like Penn State, too. I am just so high on Drew Aller, Drew Allaire, however, you know, anyone wants to say his name. Just this former 5-star kid. They got their 2 workhorse running backs back. But, man, just having that game back in East Lansing, it always gets squirrely when the Nittany Lions and the Spartans face off at the end of the season. Could be odd weather, could be a rain delay that takes 4 hours out of your afternoon, but Michigan State's got a good track record against James Franklin and those Nittany Lions at home, so hopefully that kind of continues here. I wouldn't hate to see that necessarily. So yeah, look at that. 5 home schedule for you, 5 home schedule for me as well. Would you like to dance out your number 4 reason to be optimistic for the upcoming season, Mr. Chief of Propaganda?
Yeah, my number 4, and I kind of bounced back and forth of where I was going to place this one, but I'm going to go with the young defense. I think that this is going to be the first time you're really going to see kind of Coach Tucker's guys, and I think that's going to get a term that's going to get old very quickly for fans to hear. But, I mean, almost all the defense, it's going to be his guys now, especially in the secondary, with like Jaron Mangum, like Dylan Tatum, Caleb Coley, Malik Spencer. Then you have like Jordan Hall, by Job. I could go on for a little while here, but I think that the bulk of the defense is going to be made up of guys that are sophomores, freshmen and sophomores. And that's going to be, and I think they're going to get put in a really good position to have good years and build into 2024. So I'm keeping that. I didn't move it higher just because I don't know how early some of these guys are going to play, but I think having these very young guys is a reason why I'm excited for the defense to kind of look more like Michigan State.
And that goes hand in hand with something I had on my list too, which I'll just move up to number 4 for sake of conversation. And this is not the first time I've said this on this podcast. It will not be the last time. And whether there's some truth to it, I think there is. And whether, you know, I'm just screaming it into the empty void because I just want to convince myself that it's true. Look, sometimes it just takes time for a defense to get into the scheme correctly, you know, and sometimes it takes some time to get the players that can actually play this scheme correctly. We can look at a sterling example here back in Pat Narduzzi's tenure. All right, the first 3 years, not all too great, but then by the 4th year, all right, Michigan State bangs out a 10-win season. This is the 4th year for Scotty Hazleton. He has those players now that they recruited here, like the likes of Malik Spencer, Jaden Mangum, Dylan Tatum, if you will. And they are also, I mean, come on, they're going to be healthier than last season, right? I mean, don't don't make me defy the odds and jinx it to the point where somehow they'll be even less healthy than they were last year, right? I mean, Darius Snow, his leg blew up the first series of the games or the season, seemingly. Xavier Henderson out immediately for, what was it, 7-8 games. So I just have a hard time believing that they're going to be as injury riddled as last year. And plus, just like you said, all that young talent. Is there, which young guy are you most excited for on the field next season? I'm just going to put you on the hot seat for that one right there.
I'm going to go Jordan Hall, just because at the spring game, I didn't know which number he was wearing. And me and my friends, like, none of us are football savants, but we kept watching these drills, and I'm thinking, man, who's number five? He's bigger than everybody. He's faster than everybody. And he was just dominating every drill. And I look at my phone. I'm like, oh, my God. It's what's that meme? Oh, my God. It's him. Jason Bourne. Oh, my God. It's Jordan Hall. He was incredible. And I'll drop a little tidbit in here. People on the staff think Bijob is going to be a first-round pick. So another guy, and whether or not that comes to fruition, you start to see that this year, I don't know. But that's kind of the talk around camp right now, is that Bijob is he looks to be the part.
That might drop right into what I have at number three there. We're going to get to that in a hot second. I mean, come on. I'm sure everyone's just very confused. They have no idea where I'm going to go for number three coming up next. But yeah, dude, like, just really quick, Jordan Hall, It turns out playing at IMG Academy for multiple years really can iron forge you for being a Power 5 football player. And yes, that does mean perhaps right off the bat. Now, does he start? I would have a hard time believing that, especially to start the season. But like, yeah, for a guy that's probably going to be in the two deep as a true freshman, I mean, he did look the part, because sometimes you do get these freshmen up on campus. I mean, this happens all over across the country, where the freshman gets here, he's highly ranked, but it's like, oh yeah, he could use about 25 pounds on him. Jordan Hall, I'm not getting that necessarily. Like, I think he's going to be ready day one, so that is very exciting. We got two down for each of us. We got three more to go. Mr. Chief, are you ready to trot out number three to the people? I hope people are eating up what we are feeding them. I'm sure they are.
Yeah, and speaking of eating, what goes better with a hot dog than some beer? And number three for me is going to be potential beer sales at the Woodshed. There's been a lot of momentum going on with that getting approved. I think it's been approved at Western Michigan now. So the path has been paved for that to occur in East Lansing. And I think that's a reason for optimism and gets people in, keeps people in. So there you go.
What is the highest amount you would pay for let's call it a 16 ounce cup of beer? What's the highest amount you would pay at the Woodshed?
Are we winning or losing?
Let's start with this one. We are up 10 points going into the fourth quarter against Michigan.
Yeah. I'd probably pay $20. I'll be honest. Like, it doesn't matter.
That's my basement price. Yeah. I might even go up to 40 for that one. I know it's an episode of optimism, so everyone just turn down your volume when you listen to this part, but circumstance number two, MSU going into halftime down 9 points against Central Michigan week one of the college football season. How much are we paying for a beer at that point?
I don't know. That's where you just kind of hand them the credit card and just charge it up.
I was going to say, here's my friend. His name is Benjamin, last name Franklin. Just pour me as much beer as this possibly gets me, whether that's one cup, whether that's four cups, whether it's just a shot glass of beer. We will be needing it. But no, it is, not to sound, incredibly problematic and I need to check myself into a facility, but like it is going to be medically important for beer to be at Spartan Stadium at some points this season. Like it gets nervy out there. And when that beer is just back at the tailgate, not in Spartan Stadium, that can really spike the anxiety here, Chief. So that is a good number three. That's a strong one. That is a strong one, but perhaps what else could be possibly stronger than that? Like, quite literally, is the front on the defense as well. We are talking Simeon Bear. We are talking Derek Harmon, Chris Bogle as well. Tumisay Adeleye. Oh, my goodness gracious. I love the front that these guys have. Also, too, if you want to just bring it out to that front six, I mean, it would be ridiculous not to include Jacoby Windman, who was one of the best defensive players in the Big Ten last season. Did not get his flowers with any All-Big Ten honors at the end of the season because, well, sometimes there's a little dust up in a tunnel, but it be like that sometimes. People have forgotten, I think, how great Jacoby Windman is. So, yeah, he's back in the fold. I just, man, just the interior of Simeon Barrow and Derek Harmon especially, I mean, that's top four easily in the Big Ten. In my homer and non-homer opinion, like, I think I could take off my green stained glasses and look at both those guys and say, like, oh, yeah, he is him and he is him as well. So we got two hymns, man. It's like we are at church right now with these guys on the front defensive line. It's amazing. So, yeah, impossible to leave both those gentlemen off of my top five list. So there.
I love that one. I think that, listen, football, it's very simple. Like, you need to stop the run. You need to get to the quarterback. Yeah. And you need to be able to run the football. Like, those, it's no matter what changes in the history of football, it's going to come down to that. And that's why I really like that answer by you, because I think our D line is to the point where it's reminiscent of some of those D'Antonio teams where that's what's going to be the strength. Yeah. And what makes a better second, what makes a secondary better than a pass rush? Like, it doesn't matter if you have, I could put Jalen Ramsey out on the field with some of the pass rush last year. He's not covering anybody, because if you're out there for 10 seconds, you can't. I cannot. You know, there's no way to actually be able to critique a cornerback when they're covering Marvin Harrison Jr. for like 7 seconds. It doesn't matter.
It's not optimal. It's what they call suboptimal to just be on an island out there with a guy that's going to be picked on a Thursday in a future NFL draft. Yeah, it's tough out there. But yeah, and also, like, you think stopping the run might be a little important in this conference? Maybe, just perhaps, it might be an advantage to a defense, if you will.
Especially those two in conference, like Michigan, Penn State. The only way you can beat you beat them by stopping the run. Like, bingo. TCU did it.
You got it.
They run a similar defense, so.
You got it. There we go. Thank you, Horned Frogs, for all your services last New Year's Eve. Thank you very much. Number two for you, Chief. What do we got here? We are in the home stretch right now. Hopefully everyone's eyes are twinkling with delight and there's a gleam in everyone's smile. But hey, we got four more between the two of us here. What do you got for number two?
So number two is, I think it's the favorite one on my list. And in order to move forward, sometimes you have to go back. And with that, I mean, we're coming in the season with some disrespect. I've seen.
That's a great one.
The media with our program, it's been just so out of control. You would think that we're like UConn football right now. So I think just going into the year with the disrespect on our shoulder, like, you never see any tweets coming out from anybody with the program. Like, there's no talking, and they're going in like they're coming in as underdogs in every single game. Like, it's got a different vibe, and it, like, last year was in your face, like, with the recruiting, the Lambos. This year we don't get anything now. Like, it's strictly business, and the players in every meeting they talk about it. Like, hey, 5-7. We hear it all the time. That's, they walk in the building, they see 5-7, and that's why I'm really excited, because no one is, there's no rat poison in that building. Like, they got it all last year.
Correct. You know what? I did want to bring that up at some point in this conversation. I just didn't know how to shoehorn it in. And that was like, yeah, like, Mel Tucker's been very, like, muted on social media, or like just being less out and about than he was before last season. And I don't think that is a coincidence. I don't think that is just random. I think that is a little calculated. So you read that as the boys are in the lab cooking. Like, they are Zero Dark 30 before the season even really begins.
Yeah, Mel Tucker is a very, from what we know about him, he's very strategic. Everything is process oriented. So for him to kind of deviate away from the social media thing he's been doing for a couple of years, that means that he's in the lab. And like, I was walking through campus a couple of weeks ago, and I mean, you see, like, his office is lit up at like 11 o'clock at night, and he's in there working, and it's the middle of winter. So
that's what's up. That's what we like to hear.
The underdog, disrespect, like, feed us, everything.
Love that. And you also mentioned UConn earlier when you're presenting that number two. And that leads into my number two. Brett, this is going to be the run game. The run game. Now, last season, let's just set this up. You know, in stuff rate, in power success rate, in opportunity rate, those are all kind of, you know, somewhat big metrics, but easy enough for a dumb person like me to understand. I'm not going to go through all of them, but let me just tell you this. In all three of them, MSU ranked outside the top 100 in all of those. That's not good. It was not good in the run game, especially in short yardage instances. Now, what did MSU do in the offseason, all right? Not just, you know, returning all their solid offensive linemen. They are going to be very good in that regard. Yes, Jalen Berger comes back. I think he had a really strong November at the end of last season. But also, they went fishing for one Nathan Carter out of UConn. That's right. The man who, after four games, was leading the nation in yards after contact. All right, this is a big-bodied guy, runs with a lot of power. And if that isn't good enough for all of you, well, I could do you one more. How about Jaron Mangum out of USF? That's right, South Florida. Another big-bodied kid. I don't think that as many third-and-one stops or fourth-and-two stops are going to be happening this year than last year. Now, will he go perfect in all those? No, of course not. But let me tell you, with what they did to the running back position, beefing up, quite literally, I have a really hard time going into this season without just like a good amount of optimism for the run game, which is just going to help the rest of the offense too, man. I mean, sometimes it is just that simple. Sometimes it's just that simple. So yeah, I'm pretty excited about the run game.
I love that one. And yeah, I think you raised a really good point with Jalen Berger, because I think it took him a little bit of time to get adjusted to this run scheme, which is a little bit different than what he was doing at Wisconsin. But I mean, you have three backs that all complement each other so well. Like, watching Nathan Carter a little bit in the spring game, like, he can catch the ball. Like, he's got really nice hands. Mangum is the same way. And then Berger is just like, he's that downfield, he's going to get downhill quick. And yeah, I'm with you. Like, I was rewatching, I don't know why I did this to myself, but I was rewatching the game versus Michigan the other day. And I mean, a couple plays that stood out is that 4th-and-1 from like our 40-yard line to start the game where we got stuffed. And then you had the kind of the goal line stand by Michigan where another 4th-and-1, yeah, you do this delayed handoff. And I mean, you convert both of those and it's a completely different ball game. And so just kind of looking at things like that, as well as before I go on too long, but the Indiana game, you're near the goal line and you can't punch it in. You're running the ball three times there at the 3-yard line. You can't get it in. So, I completely agree with that. And I think Nathan Carter, Mangum, as well as Berger, it's going to form in a healthy offensive line. Like, you had nobody last year. So
I'll leave it at this. This is as bluntly as I can put it. It can't get any worse, right? Like being right outside the top 100 in all three of those categories I just named, not good. Like something seriously wrong would have to happen to just not just the players on the field, but just the scheme overall. If you go back-to-back seasons with, and you know, it's not just me saying like, oh, it can't get worse, it must get better. Like, no, there's reason to believe it's going to get better this year, at least. You know, I'm not just blindly throwing that out there. Like, we have the power, we have the horses, we have the returning offensive linemen, we have the coaching of offensive linemen too for that to be better. So yeah, God. All right, we're just going to act like the Michigan game and Indiana game weren't brought up. I'll just edit all that out. That's fine. That's fine.
Optimism.
Yeah, you know, keeping it upbeat here. You know it. I would say go follow him on Twitter, but let's be honest, you probably already are. If you're not following him on Twitter, then I doubt you even have a Twitter account in the first place. And, you know, maybe that's just the best route to go after all. But, yes, Chief, you're the man. Thank you so much for joining us. Gang, we will be back on tomorrow's show. Bringing everyone back up to speed. If we missed some news here in the last few days, we will be updating it on tomorrow's show. And if any other news breaks during this offseason, hey, you know where to find us. Locked On Spartans, your team in green and white. Go enjoy the rest of your week. Love you all. You guys are all the best. Go green.
Go white.